Good evening. It's good to be out with you all tonight. I'm thankful to the elders for this opportunity to speak to you. Tonight, if you would, go ahead and open to Joshua, the 14th chapter. We're going to be studying about Caleb this evening. We're introduced to Caleb in Numbers 13 as he is one of the 12 spies that is sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. And he is one of only two spies that gives a good report of the land and says that he believes with God's help that they can take that and they can receive the reward that they've been promised. But the people were swayed by the 10 other spies that discouraged the people. And so the people did not want to go in, and they were sentenced to 40 more years of wandering. 45 years later, after the people have gone in under Joshua's command and they have taken the land, we are again introduced to Caleb. This time he's 85 years old, and this is what he has to say. Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of my people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country, about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord of God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. And the story picks up again in the next chapter in verse 13. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah, according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, Hebron. Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Anahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kirjath Sepher. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kirjath Sepher and captures it, I will give him Aksah my daughter as a wife." And Othniel the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. So he gave him Aksah his daughter as a wife. This is something that we don't typically remember Caleb for. Usually when we think about Caleb, we think about Numbers 13 and him and his faith and his courage to stand up when no one else was. Just him and Joshua. But I think this is an important story, and it shows his character, because 45 years down the road, Caleb has not gotten weaker. He has not changed. He is only stronger in his service to God. And when we look at this story tonight, I want to think of it as a formula for how we should live our lives in service to God. And there's three main components to that. We need to ask for work, look for opportunities. We need to do that work, and then we need to give God the glory for the work that is being done. So when Caleb asks for this work, first he sees that he's been promised this land that is now his to take. But he also sees that it's going to require some effort to get the land he wants. He had his pick, and he wanted a mountain full of giants. And he knew that it was going to take a lot of effort, a lot of work to get that reward a lot of fighting before he was able to enjoy any of that. But he knew it was worth it. So he asks for that challenge. He did not use his age as an excuse to get out of this work. At this point in time, Caleb is 85 years old. And he's been doing a lot of fighting the past few years because they've gone into the land, and at this point they've been fighting for almost 5 years, it looks like, to conquer all of it. But he's not done. And he doesn't use his old age as an excuse to get out of work. He doesn't delegate anybody to do this for him. He takes it on himself. We can't use our age as an excuse to get out of any work for God. Just as Caleb is an example of someone in old age doing work. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, young people are instructed to not let anyone look down on us because of our youth, but to show ourselves to be an example. There is no retirement age or enlistment age from the Lord's army. From the time you can do work to the time you can't do work, you're expected to be working. The Anakim were an enormous people, and they had great cities. Now, Caleb had seen these people with his own eyes 45 years ago, but he had not encountered them physically, but he had seen their size and their power firsthand. And then 45 years go by, and he comes back. And he can have his pick of anything. And he says, I want the scariest place there is. I want to fight 3 tribes full of giants. Now, most of us are familiar with a guy named Goliath in 1 Samuel. He was a descendant of the Anakim. But he was not nearly as big as his ancestors were, because that was several generations removed. So, if you think Goliath is big, just imagine how big these people were. And they lived in cities built for giants. They were not built for people. So, greater than Jericho, greater than anything they'd ever encountered. It's unlikely that Caleb had ever fought a giant before, but he did not shy away from that. Did he believe that he could do that with God's help? Absolutely he did. We see that in verse 12 of chapter 14. He knew God would be with him, and he knew that anything was possible with God's help. Because God's things done in God's ways never lack God's support. You ask for God's work and you do it the way He wants you to, He's going to help you in that. That's a promise. So after he asks for this work, he starts to get busy. He starts to get the work done. So he goes with his small army, and he drives out 3 tribes worth of giants. And that's like 3 tribes of Israel, but giants. And he's not afraid to do that. He might have been a little intimidated, but he got there and he didn't run away, because he knew that what he was about to receive was worth whatever he had to go through to get that. And he knew God was with him. He was behind him. So he gets that work done, and at this point, a lot of people would have stopped. A lot of people would have stopped before Caleb even asked for this work. At some point in their life, you know, you're 85, most people aren't looking for work to do. But Caleb was. So even if you're the kind of person that was looking for work at 85 years old, and you go and you fight 3 tribes worth of giants, and you have this estate to rest in, most people at that point would say, it's time to relax. I think I've done my part. But not Caleb. Caleb saw another work to be done. He saw another city that needed to be conquered. And so he challenged someone from the generation beneath him to rise up, face that, and do the work. Sometimes, if you're not asking for work, work will be given to you anyway, and you need to step up and do that. So he challenges this young man named Othniel to go and take Kirjath-Sefer, and promises him a reward, a wife. the Othniel we see here in Joshua 15 is the same Othniel that we encounter in Judges, the third chapter, the first judge. That's not a coincidence. Caleb was doing something he knew would impact the future of a nation. It wasn't about getting a city, just one more, to add to his part of land. It wasn't about marrying off his daughter. It was about creating a leader to secure the future of the people. His work was not done, and he knew that. Even if he couldn't have fought anymore, even if he wanted to, and all his strength was gone, he knew there was something else he could do. And he could teach a younger man how to do that. He could challenge him, encourage him. Now, I'm not Caleb. I'm not anywhere near that caliber of a man, but I can relate to Othniel. As a younger person who may be afraid to ask for work, or who may not be sure what it is we're doing or how to do it, we need people, Othniels need people like Caleb to challenge us, to teach us, to encourage us. Some of you may be Calebs, and you may not be able to go and do the things you used to be able to do, but there's still work to be done. And you can do that by teaching the younger men, by encouraging them, and helping them serve the Lord any way you can. Some of you may not be Caleb, some of you may not be Othniel. You may be somebody like Aksa, who goes on after this, and she asks for something from her father, and does it. Passages like Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12 show us that there is so much to do in God's kingdom, and not every single one of us can do the exact same thing. If the body is missing an individual part, it's not whole. You may not be able to do something that somebody else can do, but whatever you do is important for the kingdom. So don't count yourself out. Don't excuse yourself based on ability, on age, or courage, because there's always something that you can do. God expects us to work. And if we don't ask for it, He'll send somebody to give us something to do, like He did with Othniel. Othniel may not have been ready for that challenge, but he was given it. And he accepted it, and it made him a better person. It made him a better leader for the Lord's people. Leaders need to create leaders. If you're a leader in this church or in any sort of capacity in the world, you need to be training up people to fill the gap, because you won't be able to do what you're doing forever. And when the time comes that you have to step away from that role, whether it be you're unable to do it anymore, or it's your physical passing from this life, there has to be somebody ready to take that role and lead the people. So leaders, you're responsible to create future leaders. Caleb knew that. And he knew that if he wasn't going to step up and get that done, the people of Israel would be without a leader, because Joshua was a peer of his, and Joshua was the leader for the whole nation at this time. And at 85, he knew he and Joshua weren't going to be around much longer. He didn't know how much longer his strength was going to last, or how long it would be until he succumbed to some sort of challenge of this world. But he knew that the people were always going to need a leader. So he took that upon himself to get that done. Caleb didn't quit, and neither can we. He was always looking for work to do. We always have to ask for something to do. You ask for work, you get that done. You ask for something else, you get that done. You ask for something else. You have to keep working until you're just not able to anymore. That's what God expects of us. Psalm 103 talks about blessing the Lord. And the way that we bless the Lord is through our obedience to Him. Because to be blessed means to be happy. And nothing makes God happier than us following Him, obeying Him fully. Not because God needs to be validated by us, not because without us God would be powerless, but because it's what's best for us. Passages like John 3:16 clearly show that. He loved us enough to send His Son for us, to pay for something that we could not take care of on our own. And only through obedience can we make God truly happy, because it's what is best for us. We have to know our role in the kingdom in order to do work effectively. If you don't already know what you're good at, just start doing things that are instructed for God's people to do. Do more than you think you're capable of doing. And eventually, after working and working and working, you'll find what it is you're most effective at, what it is you can really be of service to God's people with. And then you can start asking for that kind of work and doing that kind of work and obeying God in that way. You see here that Caleb did not take credit for anything that occurred in this passage. Not even for living. Not for his strength. He didn't say, these 45 years, I'm still as strong as I was back then, because I got up every day and I worked out all day long and I ate really healthy and I ran and did all sorts of stuff to make sure my body was in tip-top shape. Caleb doesn't say that. He says, God allowed me to live these 45 years so that I can inherit this land that was promised to me. He doesn't say it's anything he did to make that happen. He doesn't even believe that on his own he can go and fight these giants. He says, perhaps God will be with me. And that he knew that was the only way that was going to be accomplished. The phrase I want to focus on the most in this passage is this: follow the Lord God fully. God deals in absolutes. We can't serve Him with part of our being. We're for Him or we're against Him. And only our full obedience will give us the reward that we've been promised. Partial service is a partial heart, and that does not make God happy. Only doing part of what He asks us to do, leaving out parts of that, that's sin. And sinning is completely against what God wants from us. When this life is over, and you only did a few of the things God asked you to do, do you think God's going to say, well, that's okay, I'll just give you this like not so great part of heaven, because you only did a part of what I wanted you to do? Or if you only did a few bad things, but not like anything good really, but you didn't do like that much bad stuff, He's going to say, well, I'll give you like not the worst part of hell. Everybody is a part of the same reward or the same punishment. It doesn't matter whether you did only part of what He asked you to do. Part of what He asked you to do is full sin. By leaving out things that He asked you to do, Him who knows what is right and does not do it, to Him it is sin. So if you're not doing everything God has asked of you, if you're not following Him fully, you're fully disobeying Him. And you got to change that. You got to fix something in your heart. In order to follow Him fully, we have to know what it is He wants from us, what it is we're working toward. Caleb knew what he wanted, what he had been promised, because he'd seen it. And he chose that. And God promised that reward to him, and he knew that it was worth the work it would take to get it. But what we've been promised is much greater. It's not Hebron. It's not anything physical. If you would, turn over to John, the 14th chapter. Here Jesus tells us what it is we're working for and how we can get it. John 14, starting in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." Our reward is a dwelling place with our Creator. It's something better than we could ever imagine. And whatever you have to go through in this life to get there, it's absolutely worth it. Whether you have a life full of pain and sorrow, or you have a life full of joy, what lies ahead is better than anything. And all God asks of you is full obedience. That's it. And it's not hard if you have the right attitude. The way to fix partial service is wholehearted devotion. If you're completely committed to God and you truly want to obey Him and you want what He's promised to you, all you have to do is look to Jesus and follow Him. Do what Jesus did. Live the right way. Because without full obedience, we don't get any of that reward. If you are a Christian and you've been living, giving partial service or partial disobedience. I say that because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as partial disobedience. Any disobedience is full disobedience. If you're a Christian, you haven't been living the right way, but you're expecting to receive what's been promised, shame on you. You got to fix that. You got to make that right in your mind and your heart. Because you cannot expect for God to give you what you have not worked for. He promised us a place with Him on the condition that we obeyed Him and that we followed Him fully, that we walked where He walked. There's no other way to get there but through Jesus. And if you have made a commitment to Him and you're not fulfilling that commitment, you got to fix that right now. Because you're not promised the rest of today. You're not promised tomorrow. You have to fix what is wrong with your life. The only way to get to heaven is through full obedience to God. And if you're not a Christian, you have yet to obey Him. He has a place prepared for you that is better than anything on this earth, better than anything you could ever dream of. And if you do not want to take the small effort that it takes to confess that He is your Savior, to understand that you need to follow Him in order to get there, I don't understand why you would not take advantage of this opportunity. Because something great waits for you, and all you have to do is admit that you need it. And take the steps that it takes to get there, to obey Him. Put Christ on in baptism and live the right way. Start asking for work. you're not a Christian, your first task tonight is to get that way. And if you are a Christian and you are looking for something to do, ask for it. We have to constantly be looking for opportunities and constantly trying to fulfill the work that has been given to us, because it will never be done. As long as there are souls on this earth that are in need of saving, you and I will never be finished working. If there is something that you need tonight, you have yet to obey God, but you know what you have to do in order to be saved, do that. If you don't know, come on and ask somebody what it is that you have to do to get that way. Because we want you to be saved. We want you to be in heaven with us. I don't want anyone to go to hell. Not anybody. It's the opposite of heaven in every way. Heaven is better than anything you could ever imagine. Hell is worse than anything you could ever imagine. So don't waste this opportunity. Whatever it is you have to do to get right with God, do that right now. Please come forward as we stand and sing.